And we're back with another edition of the American Cattleman Podcast. My name is Dustin Hector, and I'm going to get this ride started. A quick update from D.C. Last week's USDA's Farm Service Agency authorized the release of emergency hang and grazing of the Conservation Reserve Program acres nationwide, including CRP acres in Oklahoma, to livestock producers affected by the recent wildfires in Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. Eligible CRP participants who want to donate CRP acres for the purpose of emergency grazing and hang must obtain a modified conservation plan, which includes emergency grazing requirements from either USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service or the participant's technical service provider before the CRP acres are hayed or grazed. If you have CRP acres you are willing to donate to cattle producers for the purpose of grazing and hang, please contact your local FCA office for more information. The USDA is also investing up to $22 million in partnerships that expand access to conservation technical assistance for livestock producers and increase the use of conservation practices on grazing lands. USDA's NRCS is accepting proposals through its Grazing Land Conservation Initiative until May 26, 2024. Project proposals for GLCI cooperative agreements will identify and address barriers to assessing grazing assistance for producers as well as prioritize local natural resource concerns. And that's it for industry news. Before we get too deep, here's a brief word from one of our sponsors, Rawhide Portable Corrals.
We understand cattle. That's why the world's first hydraulic corral just keeps getting better. Our system is simple, flexible, and durable, built to keep your cattle operations easy and trouble-free. All the best features of a portable system with unmatched customer service is why Rawhide is often imitated, never duplicated. The Rawhide Portable Corral.
Just ahead, we have American Cattleman podcast host Chap Ramsey, and he sits down with Henry Arrowwood, Chief Executive Officer for FarmShare, a company that helps producers access direct to the consumer and consumers access directly to their feed source. Henry will share with you a little bit about FarmShare, the software and how it works, and how they help create the market for producers. But first, another word from a sponsor, the official hat company of the American Cattleman Podcast, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery.
It's way more than just a hat. It's a piece of American tradition. We're talking about Shorty's Cowboy Hattery, the finest handmade hats in the country. Founded by National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame, Lavona Shorty Coger. For over 30 years, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery has covered the heads of rodeo stars, music stars, working ranch cowboys, and folks that just want to look like one. Shorty's hats remain world famous and are sought after for their attention to detail, intricate sewing process, and signature beaver fur and beaver fur blends. You gotta get you one or two. Visit shortyshattery.com because you deserve the best.
Now here is Chap Ramsey.
Hey, welcome back to the American Cattleman Podcast. Great to have you riding with us today. My name's Chap Ramsey, your host, and we've got something exciting for you coming up right now. His name is Henry Arrowwood, and he's out of Colorado, and what he does is a company called FarmShare. We're going to find out all about that next. Henry, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Chap.
Great to have you here, man. You're speaking my language. When what you're doing, I think, is really exciting because it is what many farmers and ranchers are looking for. They just don't know how to get there.
That's for sure.
And we're talking about ranch to restaurant, farm to table, and getting those products in front of consumers. Talk to us about what it is you do.
Well, you're so right, Chap. And not only is it the producer that's wanting to have this more direct-to-market access, but it's the consumer. What we've found is there's a huge contingent of consumers out there today who are looking for more transparency, more traceability, and more connection to where their products are coming from. And so, especially during the pandemic, we saw a huge surge in consumer interest to seek direct purchasing opportunities from ranches. And so, what we're really doing as a company is bridging that gap between producers who want to sell their product direct to market and those consumers who want to buy their products directly from the ranch.
And that takes in a whole mess of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Oh, heck yeah.
And you've landed in an area that's hot right now. And this doesn't just affect rural America. This is really important to urban America.
That's certainly true. I mean, you know, you and I, people growing up in rural areas, we've always known what it's like to buy a half or a whole from our local rancher. But there's a whole set of city folk out there who have never purchased beef directly from a local farm. And so what we're doing is we're providing an avenue whereby they can connect with producers all over the country and get that product shipped directly to the doorstep.
Now, it's software.
It is.
Right? What's the learning curve?
Well, when we started this company, we were really focused on how can we create an e-commerce platform where we can basically take all these producers, bring them into an online shopping environment, and give them access to sell direct to market. Now, what we learned in doing that was what was really needed was all of the picks and shovels, so to speak, for this industry. We needed to provide the blocking and tackling for these producers so that they could focus as much time as they needed to on the actual production of their product and not worry about all of the operational minutiae of getting that product to market. And so what we really learned was we needed to provide the infrastructure, the shipping, the logistics, the packaging, the marketing automation, all of the things from an operational perspective to seamlessly enable these producers to sell in this market dynamic.
So it's almost a turnkey deal.
Oh, yeah. We call it a business in a box.
Yeah. So you said a couple of interesting things. Not only do you have software that helps them balance out where it's going, who it's being sold to, but you also have to create a market. Help them create a market if they don't have an existing market, or if they do have an existing market, how you can better impact that market. But you said something about packaging.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, you know, one of the things that's really tough for a lot of producers is the cost of packaging is real expensive. If you want to buy the type of packaging you need to keep a product cold in transit, it's going to cost you a lot. You got to buy an insulative property package. You got to buy the dry ice. You got to buy the gel packs. I mean, there's a whole lot that goes into that. And if you're going to buy it at a reasonable price, you got to buy pallets directly from a manufacturer. And so what we figured out is, well, we could actually be the broker of that product. So we work directly with the manufacturers of the most cutting edge cold chain packaging. We warehouse that in Kentucky, and then we sell it out in low minimum order quantities to our producers at a very cost effective price point.
So this really is a business in a box.
It really is.
All right. So let's talk about marketing this, because, you know, many producers, even though they've heard about ranch to restaurant or farm to table, they may be a little skitterish in getting into this thing. So as you're marketing you, you also have to help them market what they have. Are you using social media? So tell us about that side.
For sure. So in terms of what we're doing to get in front of our producers, it's really about telling this story. I mean, like you said, Chap, there are so many producers out there that we classify as direct-to-consumer curious, right? They've seen people on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook that are selling their beef direct, and they know that the profit margins are high in that business. I mean, our average producer is netting out $8 per pound across the carcass on their product. So, you know, the economic incentive is there. But like you said, there's a lot of operational barriers to entry and getting into this business. And so we really pitch it to them as, hey, this is an opportunity that, you know, we can give you a low risk, chance to get into this and experiment and what it would be like to sell direct to consumer.
Now, let's talk about the restaurant side
for
just a minute. Restaurants, grocery stores, everybody out there is wanting people to know, because consumers want to know where their food is.
That's
transparency.
Right.
And so you'll see signs in grocery stores, or restaurants on the menu. This is locally raised beef from XYZ or whatever it happens to be, or this is a product that comes from less than 50 miles away, or
yep.
this is a product that's raised in such and such an environment,
yeah.
in a kind, gentle environment. And so all that becomes sales points at the restaurant or at the retail site.
That's 100% right. I mean, we're in an interesting position where we have a lot of access to consumer data, and we've done a tremendous amount of market research to understand what are the biggest motivators for consumers right now when they're purchasing their beef, and what are the motivators that are seeking these producers to search for alternatives to standard big box retailer products. And you mentioned a few of those main motivators. Local is the number one. Consumers want to support local. They want to have a product that was raised near them and they can feel like they're supporting their local economy. The second one is transparency. They want to feel like they know where that product is coming from. They want to understand that this product was raised in a humane way. You know, animal welfare was good. The use of additives in that product, creating that product, were low. These are all of the consumer concerns that exist in the market today. And what we see actually is there's a litany of concerns the consumer has for meat products compared to any other product that they'll be buying at the grocery store. The same product, the same concerns don't exist around vegetables that they do around meat. And so this is an added motivator for the consumer to seek out those alternatives to what they would traditionally be buying.
Can I just guess for just a minute, one of the things that they're concerned about, or they're very picky about when they're talking about their beef, is that it's a little pricey.
That's right.
And, you know, you can buy a gourd or, you know, a vegetable or a cucumber for a couple cents or
yep.
whatever. But if you're buying a rack of lamb or a rack of beef or however this is sold, by the steak, however, you want to make sure that what you're getting is going to be desirable in the end and cost effective.
That's totally right. Yeah. And
wow.
what we're seeing is, you know, if we can cut out a bunch of the middlemen that traditionally exist in that supply chain, we can have a win-win situation for the producer and the consumer, right? The producer is able to sell it and retain much higher margin on that product, and the consumer can buy it at a much more competitive price point. And so what we see is, obviously, if you're shipping product, there's a break-even point that becomes a win-win for both the producer and the consumer. And right about at $125, our product becomes cheaper on a per pound basis than even the most luxurious retailers compared to Whole Foods, right? So at $130, $125, our product becomes extremely price competitive with premium beef you would be selling a retailer at Whole Foods.
And you get the added pleasure of knowing where it's from.
Oh man, I mean, that is the magic that we're able to create, right? When a producer is able to send their product in a box with a picture of their family and a handwritten note, I mean, that is just magic to a customer.
What's your biggest barrier?
Oh, biggest barrier to entry right now is on the processor side of things. So if we really want to expand this market, we got to make sure that we have, you know, tremendous independent processing capacity across this country. And so one of the things that we're really focused on is how do we actually empower at the processor level? So we're starting to run some pilots right now. We have one going in Mississippi where we're actually going to be empowering the processor to turn on a local network for all of the producers in their ecosystem so that they will become the central node for processing and distribution of product from that facility.
One of the things you just talked about, we've seen happen in the past 4, 5, maybe 6 years, where meat lockers we're processing, you know, independent meat lockers are opening up for business again because they've got consumers that want that local beef. And so they're opening up these smaller places that farmers and ranchers can take their product to, and it's created a financial boon for some of these towns that have 400 or 500 people in it.
That's
right. It's amazing.
That's right. I mean, we're just seeing so much consumer demand right now, and I'm glad to see that there's federal funding backing that up and creating a lot of processing opportunities across this country. And what we feel our responsibility in that whole equation to be is to create the market reach for those processors, right? Because we can turn on an entire new line of business for them if they're not only one processing product on behalf of their producers, but they can actually become a channel to market.
Wow. FarmShare is the name of the company, and we've been talking with Henry Arrowood out of Colorado, who has got this, look, We spend a lot of time with not only producers, but also folks that are consumers. And this is an answer for so many people to get in on the ground floor of something that has taken off like crazy over the past couple of years. Henry, great stuff, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Chap.
A special thanks to Henry Arrowwood from FarmShare for taking time to chat with us today. Also, special thanks to our sponsors, Rawhide Portable Corrals and Shorty's Cowboy Hattery. We hope you enjoyed your time with us. For more information or to listen to previous podcasts, please visit our website, www.americancattleman.com, or you can check us out on social media simply by searching American Cattlemen. The American Cattlemen podcast is produced by the American Cattlemen magazine. And that's it for today. Until next time, make sure the gate is always closed.